Hi, this is your play button. Thank you for pressing me. However, if you're under the age of 18, are not terribly broad-minded, or have a boss at work who likes you less than a tax audit, I would encourage you to press my cousin, the stop button. Otherwise, welcome to Eeper's Choice Podcast.
Suspicious auditory stimulus detected.
Hi guys, welcome back to my latest show. This is show number 8, I think. Sorry that it took so long to get back, but as I said, I had a chest infection, so I couldn't really talk. I'll give you an example. The worst, you guys heard me last week being slightly blocked up, so I actually had
a voice like that for the whole week,
and it was terrible. So I'm not going to thrill you with that. I do have some recordings that I did last week that I might get out as a bonus at some point, but right now I just don't feel like embarrassing myself. That's about it, folks, for the intro. I'm going to go into the news, and I've got some great news for you guys this week. Here it comes. News. And in the news this week, I have that CPM, that Central Park Media, are set to cut prices on 4 of their titles. They will be re-released on January 30th next year. They include Ichi the Killer, Episode 0, Time Bokudan, that's $9.95, Hammer Boy, $9.95, Ichi the Killer was $14.95, and interestingly enough, Blackjack's DVD Collection 1 is $29.95. And for those of you who don't know, Blackjack was created by the god of manga and anime, Osamu Tezuka, and I would urge you guys to check it out, because, you know, Blackjack is as old school as you can get, but he's still cool. And this particular version of Blackjack is directed by another Osamu, and that is Osamu Dezaki, and he is responsible for such things as the director of Space Adventure Cobra and Space Adventure Cobra the movie, which are classic old school. He was the executive director of Suryodin, Legend of the Dragon Kings, which I spoke about last week, or last show. I keep doing that last week. He also directed The Bionic Six, which is absolutely ripe US cartoons. He also directed Air the Movie, and he also directed Haguge, Legend of Moby Dick, which I think AWO reviewed at some point, and I will put a link to that review in the show notes. But I saw the first episode on a preview disc of Newtype USA, and it looked good, even if the dub was just a bit over the top. In other news, Satoshi Kon's latest film, Paprika, will be screened on Sunday at 10 a.m. at Lemay's Grand Fourplex in downtown Los Angeles. This screening will enable the film to be nominated for an Oscar. It has some sort of stipulation that they have to show in L.A. or something like that, but it will be shown in L.A., therefore allowing it to be contended for an Oscar. And I've reviewed the synopsis of the show, and I will give you a synopsis in the show notes, but it looks like it's going to be good. And for those of you who don't know, Satoshi Kon directed such things as Perfect Blue, the movie, Tokyo Godfathers, Paranoia Agent, and Millennium Actress, and all four of them I would wholeheartedly recommend as serious anime, not just, you know, adult anime where, you know, it's got, you know, violence or nudity in it, but it's the sort of thing that only adults would get their heads around the concepts. It's good stuff. And also, the big news, the huge, ginormous Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston striding out in front of 40,000 slaves kind of thing, is that ADV have officially announced that they are to license Sergeant Frog, the anime and merchandise, not the manga, but Sergeant Frog, i.e. Kuroro Gunso. Now, I've been watching Kuroro Gunso on Fansub, and I've been reading the manga that have been published by Tokyopop, and Kuroro Gunso is one of the best anime I've seen in years. Very funny, very sardonic. It parodies itself and a lot of things, like the typical alien who lands in a human household gig. It also takes as many piss takes as it can at the Gundam license, even though the show is animated by Sunrise, the same people behind Gundam. I can't stress enough how much this show needs to be supported, because this show will be absolutely mind-bending to anyone who's never seen anime. It's a sort of show that you can show to anyone outside of the realm of anime or manga, and they would absolutely love it, because it's just so over the top that you can't help but laugh at it. So if it, when it does come out, it says later rescheduled for 2007, so that could be any time for spring or summer. When it does come out, I would wholeheartedly encourage all of you guys to support it, because it's a good show. However, on that subject, it seems to me that this is, can't be helped but be coincidence that ADB officially announced that they've probably spent a criminal, insane amount of money on Sergeant Frog, and they've pushed back, absolutely pushed back, the dates for Evangelion 10th Anniversary Box Set again and again and again. And finally, as far as I'm aware, they pulled it completely from the list, meaning that they don't know when it'll be released. So, for those of you who wanted Sergeant Frog, just let you know that there's a very good chance that you guys got Sergeant Frog at the expense of the Evangelion fans. And Evangelion fans, I would stress to you that you guys didn't get Evangelion at the expense of Sergeant Frog. So, let the bloodbath commence. Last final news from the ANN is that a new trailer for Motoko Shinkai's upcoming Byouatsuku 5cm movie trilogy is now online. I'll leave a link to the trailer in the show notes. The film will be released, or films, I should say, will be released next spring. There was an article in, not this month's, but last month's New Type USA about the movies, and there you can follow the link to the actual ANN page on the trilogy. Motoko Shinkai, for those of you who don't know, directed two other films, Voices of a Distant Star and The Place Promised to Us in Our Early Days. That's the English titles as I'm reading them, and both of whom are mind-blowing films. Now, I've seen bits of The Place Promised, and I've just gotten a copy of Voices of a Distant Star, which I will review, I think, not next month, but the month after, because I've currently got a backlog of stuff that I need to get through, not only to just enjoy my anime, but to also review for you guys, so I'll get through it as soon as I can. The official site for Gonzo's Master of Epic anime series is now online. Master of Epic is based on a pre-existing PC RPG game of the same name. However, according to the official website, there will be crossover between events and characters in the game and the anime, so you can watch both or one after another and there won't be any loss. So, there you go. Now, moving into the UK news, I have small amount, not a great, there is lots of stuff, but I'm just picking out what I can. Revelation Films have announced that Revelation Films are video label in the UK, have announced that they will be taking over from MVM in releasing Funimation's anime catalogue in the UK. MVM handles such things as Animego, Funimation, and I think, as far as I know, up until very recently, Genion. I'm not sure about Genion. I do know that Bandai now have Biz UK, which handles all of their titles. Piece of interesting news is that Revelation Films already work with Navarre Corporation, which is Funimation's parent company, to help distribute their other UK labels, and I can only assume that Navarre have suggested, I'd like to say suggested, but I'm probably going to have to say insist, that this change be made to streamline the operation, and we all know what that means. Media Blasters have announced that they are going to pass on Oh My Goddess Season 2. They had previously licensed the entirety of the first series, however, according to John Cerebella, the owner of Media Blasters, he posted these comments, the following comments on anime forum board. At the cons, we said we wanted to do it, but it was not definite. I do not remember what exactly we said at Anime Boston, but in the end, it will not be us, and I'm not sure who did pick it up. I found it on my recent trip to Japan that the licensor went with someone else. We gave them the best offer, our best offer, but they went elsewhere. He ends the comments by saying, well, anyway, sorry we will not be able to give you season 2, but I'm sure the next company will do a great job. And I'll post a link to this comment in the show notes as well. That basically wraps it up for the news. I will go straight into the reviews, which will be the manga for this week will be Densha Otago by CMX. And the anime for this week will be DN Angel from ADB Films.
There's nothing worse than watching a bunch of anime dorks clap at a trailer.
Yeah, I've never understood that. I could flip out if they were like, from a mining expedition in Deli East Timor that's been conducted for the past 30 years, we managed to dig up a ancient text of Fist of the North Star that we're bringing out to you today at this very moment, and we're going to show it in its entirety right now, and everybody gets free snacks.
Wait, Dave, are you sure you'd be clapping or would you be beating the crap out of the fat dude next to you in a sailor hat? Because that's what I'd be doing. I'd be like, I don't know, Fist of the North Star, fatty! Tell me how much you love it! Take off this stupid hat!
Dave and Joel's Best Karate for the Gentleman.
The anime podcast for people who don't like anime.
Or podcasts.
Find us online at www.daveandjoel.com.
Reviews. My title for the manga section for this week is the manga Dentcha Otago. It's published in the United States by CMX. Now, what's Dentcha Otago about? Well, Dentcha Otago is translated as Train Man. And Train Man is about the story of a young otaku who spends his life watching anime, reading manga, collecting toys. He really dreams of being a courageous person, but because of who he is and his personality, cannot seem to find the courage to do anything exciting or adventurous. However, one day on a train, after a day out shopping at the Akihabara, the otaku mecca, he spies a young girl on the train who's very, very pretty, and he likes her instantly. However, just after he gets on the train, a drunk man on the train starts hassling everyone on the train, and in particular starts hassling this girl. And for Dentcha, or as he's known in the manga Train, this is too much, and for the very first time in his life, he stands up and defends somebody, wrestles with the drunken man until help can be summoned in the form of the conductor. After the train is stopped to let the man off and for the authorities to arrest him, everyone on the train thanks Train for a job well done. He gives them his address so that they can send him thank you gifts, as is the custom in Japan, I suppose. Amongst them all, the pretty girl who he liked wants his address, but he is so shy and embarrassed that she wants to know his name and address that he runs off without telling her. So Train thinks that nothing comes of it, until several days later, he receives a package in the post, which he thinks is a Gundam model. But when he opens it, he finds two teacups and saucers from the label Hermes, and I had to look that up, how to pronounce that word, because I thought it was Hermes, but it's Hermes, apparently. He realizes that these cups are from the girl on the train. Having no experience with girls whatsoever, Train goes onto a bulletin board service online and asks for help from the people on the bulletin board. Of course, the people on the bulletin board are of the same mindset as Train and have no problem helping him. And the first volume of the manga charts Train's transformation from being uncool nerdish otaku to slightly uncool nerdish otaku. This is not a miraculous transformation. Train doesn't suddenly become a hip cat by the time the end of the first volume. He still is the same character. However, the people on the bulletin board inch forwards and help him become someone respectable, and also he has no idea what to say to Hermes, so he asks advice from everyone. The first volume charts his attempts to talk to Hermes, to phone her, and then at the end of the first volume he schedules a date with Hermes, and we wait to find out what happens. Now, to let you know, this is apparently an entirely true story, and this occurred in 2004. Now, according to several people who were on the bulletin board, they have actually met Train and Hermes in real life, and the two of them are a happy couple at this point. But, as with a lot of urban legends, it's true and it's not true. To say that this has had massive media exposure is an understatement. There are currently three manga, as I count them, three manga in total, three of which have been published in the United States. One by Viz, one by Del Rey, and one by CMX. The title in question by CMX was going to be published for four volumes in Japan, but because of lackluster sales, was truncated into three volumes. The one by Del Rey is a one-shot, and it takes in the form of shoujo. And the Viz title is a seinen series, and Seinen is classified as any subset of manga that's targeted from the male audience 18 to 30 years old. So that can be anything from Akira to Chobits to Genshiken to Initial D to Dentcha Otago, I suppose. There was also a TV series created for this and a theatrical movie. The TV series is yet to surface here in Europe or the United States, but the movie version itself, which stars Takeuki Yamada and Miki Nakatani, was a huge success in Japan and will be released on DVD in January 2007 by Viz Pictures, the motion picture division of Viz Media. So I don't know what will become of that. I would urge anyone who likes this sort of story, it's the ultimate story of the good guy got good. However, unlike a lot of other anime where a nerdish character is propelled into a relationship with a girl, no one gets beaten up, no one gets mangled. It's a straight-laced story between a guy and a girl. So if you like that sort of story within normal press, then you'll like this. My anime review for this week will be DN Angel, and that'll be coming up right after a couple of these promos.
Oh god, I'm bored. Oh, I know. Hey, Ike, can you do me a favor and turn to channel 6 really quick?
Oh, I suppose.
Doctors are saying that he will never dance salsa again.
Oh, God, the news is on before the show. Sorry about that. He's had a really bad case of denial. Well, I was thinking I'll just lie back.
Wait, you're about to sit down.
You believe that the Wachowski brothers, of all people, are going to be making that live action screen picture?
No! No!
I'm asking.
Laugh Essential. Podcasting at its finest. When our host isn't going crazy, that is. Podcastcentral.blogspot.com, or you can find us on iTunes, or you can find us on MySpace. See you later.
Wait to understand.
No! No!
As far as you know how to make chloroform, do you?
No! No!
I didn't think so.
Hey kids, do you like Japanese animation but have a hard time figuring out what to watch? Then you need to listen to the weekly anime review podcast, where we talk about giant robots.
Sword! Blazing sword!
Magical girls.
Izumi-kawa!
And other weird Japanese cartoons.
Curse those evil octopi.
So head over to www.weeklyanimereview.com or look for us in your favorite podcast directory. The Weekly Anime Review Podcast. Anime reviews for your ears.
So, this week's anime review is the anime title DN Angel. So, what is DN Angel about? Well, put simply, DN Angel is about a young lad named Daisuke Niwa, who is currently 13 going on 14. On the eve of his 14th birthday, decides that he's going to pluck up the courage to tell the girl that he likes, Risa Harada, a girl he's liked for X amount of years, that he really, really likes her. Just a piece of background information, Daisuke's family have been training him hard since he was little to be acrobatic, to be swift of hand and of mind, and has had the ability to break into places since he was very little, but Daisuke doesn't know why. Daisuke plans his meeting with Risa down to the absolute last level. He makes sure that he's on at the right time, he's on the right train, catches the exact same train that she does on their way to school. He plans it all down to the last detail. However, things never go right for Daisuke, as we find out in the first volume. To say that his attempt to tell Risa that he likes her was a disaster isn't a bit of an understatement. When he finally does pluck up the courage to try and ask her, before he can, he's absolutely and utterly shot down. So, how is he shot down? Well, hang on, I'll play it for you and you'll find out for yourself. And just in case you didn't get that, or you don't speak Japanese, here it is for you in English.
It's my turn as class assistant. You always offer to help me carry things, and you also took my place for cleaning duty.
Well, that's because I, you know.
And Niwa?
And?
You're so nice. I almost can't think of you as just any other boy I know at school.
Yes?
In many ways, you are my best friend in the world.
Ow. Well, Daisuke isn't one to let that get him down. He's a chipper kind of guy, so, and I will give it to you like this.
This is it! Today I go from being quiet, harmless little Daisuke Niwa to, you know, he's pretty cool, Daisuke Niwa, huh?
And in Japanese as well. So, So nothing much ever gets this kid down, despite everything that's happened to him. So Daisuke's plans are shot down, but on absolute cusp of his 14th birthday, he finds out that he is none other than the receptacle for the legendary Phantom Thief Dark. Phantom Thief Dark has been plaguing property owners for 400 odd years. There is a backstory to why Dark is the way he is, but we don't find this out in the first volume. Now, here's the problem. Daisuke likes Risa. Whenever he thinks about Risa, he transforms into Dark, because Dark is his other half, and it's his expression of his innermost thoughts and desires. Unfortunately, Dark seems to like another girl, Riku Harada, who's the twin sister of Risa. Whenever Dark gets too close to Riku, he transforms back into Daisuke. And this will keep going on until Daisuke can admit his unrequited love, which is Risa, who doesn't like him, only likes him as a friend, and then decides to mess it up even furthermore by saying that she really, really likes Dark. Yeah, you want to be him, don't you? What can I say about this series? This series is very good. It's not the most amazing of series. It won't give you any great insight in life, but it is a good, pretty good, accurate representation of what it's like to be in love when you're young and not have it sent back to you. Although, in this case, I would say that the problem is a multiplied tenfold. Now, if that wasn't hard enough, Daisuke also has the added problem that a classmate of his, Satoshi Iwatari, who was the youngest ever member of the police force in his town, and he's charged with bringing down Dark. And Satoshi seems to kind of suspect that Dark is in actuality Daisuke. Also thrown into this mix, Satoshi is the receptacle for Crad, which is Dark's exact opposite half, and you've got a recipe for disaster. The cast itself is pretty good. Daisuke Niwa is played in the Japanese version by the seiyuu Miyu Irino, by Kevin Korn in the ADV dub. Dark is played by Ryotaro Okiwo and Vic Mignogna in the English version, and Risa Harada is played by Masumi Asano and Lucy Christian in the English version, and Riku is played by Sara Nakoyama or Hilary Haig in the English version. I like both versions. I like the subtitle version and the dub version. However, if you don't like this kind of show, then neither dub nor sub will appeal to you. There are a lot of unresolved issues in the first volume that I have to categorically say that will not get resolved until the seventh volume. It's the sort of thing that, I don't know, really amateur newbies will have to sit through all seven volumes like I did to find out what happened. And if you're a hardened otaku, then you probably can guess how it's all going to occur by the seventh volume. I'm not going to say to it or from it whether you should hang around for the show. It's your choice. But if it was me and I was needing to introduce anime to another person who's never seen anime, this is the title that I would listen to. Oh yes, and they have the token cute character in the form of Wiz, or Wiz as he's known, in the English manga translation as Wiz. But in the anime and in Japanese and English, he's known as Wiz. He's like this small, fluffy kind of rabbit creature, but on the turn of a command can change into Dark's wings, so allowing him to fly. He also can transform, so long as he's in close proximity to someone, into anyone, as Daisuke finds out to his betterment stroke, not betterment. ADV have released all seven volumes into an art box, and they've released a thin pack collection in the States. You can pick these probably up on Amazon.co.uk or .com secondhand for about $5 or $6 a disc if you want to buy them individually, or you can buy the box set for about, you know, cheap price. You'll get it for about $29. This is a good entry level anime title if you're a newbie, and if you want to introduce a newbie to anime, this is a pretty good title to get them started with. My next review will be the Retro Choice Corner, and my Retro Choice Corner for this week will be the classic TV series Kimagori Orange Road, which I've reviewed the first four volumes of for this purpose, as there's 12 volumes in total, and a whole bunch of OAVs and movies which I still haven't gotten to the end of. So after these promos, I'll bring you into KOR.
Running a ninja clan in the high-tech world of the 21st century is serious business. Just one slip-up and you can find your head nailed to the gate of a rival clan's village.
Enter the Ninja Consultants, a team of dedicated individuals working to make certain your next mission is a successful one. Services include
Ninja Actuarial Services. Think there's a traitor in your midst? Ninja Consultants' internal auditors will uncover plots and conspiracies in your clan and finger a culprit. Guaranteed.
Crisis Management. Did some boastful genin summon an ancient demon and now half your clan is dead or zombies? Ninja Consultants Turnaround Specialist will help you restructure your clan and streamline your new operation by cutting loose the dead weight and rotting flesh.
Human Resources. Are your ninjas constantly dying all the time? They may just be unmotivated. Ninja Consultants is a demonstrated leader in inspiring ninjas to new levels of productivity so your clan can reach its most competitive assassination quota ever.
Ninja Consultants, the first and only name in clan value enhancement and anime podcasting.
At www.ninjaconsultant.com.
Or on LiveJournal under the username Ninja Consultant.
Or you can search for us in the iTunes store. Just look for Ninjas, Consultants, Ninja Consultants, or Anime.
Though you might have to look pretty hard under that last one.
Ninja Consultants. We get paid more than regular ninjas. I don't know what a podcast is.
That's fine, I don't know what consultants do.
So you want to hear people talk about Japanese cartoons?
You know, anime.
But you think the other anime podcasters just aren't nerdy enough?
Sounds like you need to join forces with the Anime World Order.
Where each week, three self-proclaimed experts offer you reviews.
Of titles both new and classic, news and commentary.
Rants, convention reports, interviews with fandom.
And some hentai and yaoi for good measure.
So search for anime in the iTunes Music Store.
Or visit our website at animeworldorder.com.
Anime World Order, revealing the truth about anime, one podcast at a time.
Retro choice.
一つの出会いが二つの恋に進み、三つの震える心が優しい音色を奏でた。春日京介、15歳。青春してます。
And my retro choice review for this week is the anime Kimagori Orange Road. So, what's Kimagori Orange Road about? Well, I'll give you the rundown in what it was. Okay, it was first published in Shonen Jump from 1984 to 1987. There were 18 volumes, and it was written by Izumi Matsumoto. It was later adapted into a 48-episode TV series by Studio Pierrot between 1987 and 1988, and was directed by Osamu Kobayashi. Now, the story of Kimagori Orange Road, and listen, from here on in, I will refer to it as KOR, rather than have to say the whole thing, okay? So, KOR is basically the story of a young man, Kazuka Koisuke. So, Koisuke transfers to a new school at the beginning of the school year, near towards the end of the summer. And the day he arrives, he encounters a girl called Ayukawa Madoka, who's cheerful to him and laughs with him and then says that she'll see him later. He tells her his name, but she doesn't tell him her name. So the next day, when he arrives at the school, he encounters a girl called Hiyama Hikaru, who turns out to be Madoka's best friend. Hikaru is a very ditzy character, very fickle. However, when he encounters Madoka again within the setting of the school, she absolutely ignores him. She has a very, very cold personality towards him. He cannot understand why the same girl is being so cold and distant to him now. Unfortunately for Kosuke, he develops feelings for Madoka. Unfortunately, at the same time, Hikaru develops feelings for Kosuke. So he's caught in the awful predicament that he wants to go out with Madoka. Unfortunately, he can't seem to break Hikaru's heart. I've only watched the first three volumes. I know I said I would review the first four, but unfortunately I just can't seem to get around to doing the fourth volume. So I'll give you the rundown of the series so far. Kosuke is an esper. His whole family is. The reason why he's moved into this new school is that every time their powers are revealed to the outside world, they have to move before anyone can notice. And Kosuke has the ability to teleport, he has telekinesis, he has something called time slipping, which means he can run time backwards if he has an accident or something like that. Kosuke is voiced by Toru Fujiwara in the anime, and Madoka is voiced by Hiromi Tsuru. And Hikaru is voiced by Eriko Hara, and I'll post up some ANN articles about them, see what else they've done. I like this show. This show was recommended to me by Gerald from the Anime World Order podcast, and by Aaron from the Ninja Consultant podcast, and they told me, you know, watch maybe one or two, see if you like it, and as I said before, that I, like an idiot, had decided to order all 12 volumes of the TV series. And I'm probably going to find the OAV and movie box set at some point. I don't know. I was told that the movie is good, but the OAVs are terrible. So I'll see what I can do. The animation in this is absolutely sterling. I'll give you an example. The first day, first episode that Kyosuke is in school, he encounters Madoka for the second time, defending Hikaru against a lot of school bullies. And the action in the fight sequences is very fluid, very held together, you know, for something 20-odd-year-old series, it looks remarkably well. The one thing that I absolutely thought was amazing was there's a shot in which a punk with glasses moves to try and punch Madoka, and Madoka punches him back. Then we see the punk's view of Madoka, and it's blue, and we don't understand why it's blue until the blue screen cracks and we realize that she's just broken his glasses. That's well done. In another scene, Hikaru is driven to school on a motorcycle by some guy who liked her, but she then was such a fickle person that she didn't return his affection. He comes in through the main road where the school is located and spins 720 degrees around on the bike and lands straight up. Now, I know it's an animation, but it looks amazingly well done. The only thing I will say is that if you are not a fan of the 80s or old anime in general, this will be a hard series to take in. It's not what I would call modern. There's lots of stuff in it that's seriously dated, from the technology to the fashion. It's just a very 80s series through and through. And that's fine by me. I was, you know, a young person. I was 10 going around on 1991 or thereabouts, so I remember the 80s well, and that's fine with me, I don't mind. But, you know, if you don't like to listen to this kind of opinion of an old fogey, then you know, I'd switch off now. But I liked it, I really did. Now, the supporting cast includes Kosuke's twin sisters, but not twin sisters, they are twins, he isn't. Manami and Kurumi. And Manami is the more level-headed of the sisters, she's the one wearing glasses. Her powers include teleportation and telekinesis. Part of her character is that she doesn't like using the power, as they call it. That's their collective ESP power. She doesn't like using it. Kurumi, on the other hand, is far more bubbly, far more energetic. She spends a lot of her time getting into trouble as much as getting out of trouble. The reason why they moved to this town in the first place is because of Kurumi. She used the power to run 100 meter dash in her local school in 3 seconds. Other supporting cast members include Kazuya Hata and Seiji Komatsu, and they are two of Kosuke's friends, and they're both perverts. The only thing is, they spend a lot of the first three volumes of the series trying to hook up with Kosuke's sisters, which he can see right through them and tears them a new A every single time they ask. Another character is Yusaku Hino, and he's about the same age as Hikaru. By the way, just for reference, Hikaru is a year younger than Kosuke and Madoka. Yusaku, or Yu, as he's sometimes affectionately nicknamed, Yu is madly in love with Hikaru. She doesn't notice him at all because she continuously is fixated on Kyosuke. So much so that Yu starts to see Kyosuke as a bit of a user and a womanizer. Even though Kyosuke really desperately doesn't want to be involved with Hikaru. So Yu is seen as a karate expert. Now, there is an episode where he gets seriously beaten senseless by some person. And you begin to ask yourself, hang on a second, if he's a karate expert, why was he beaten up so badly? But that's never explained, and I really don't put any importance on it. But he's a karate expert, and he's threatened on more than one occasion to beat Seven Bells out of Kyosuke. So if he didn't have his own confused feelings for Madoka to sort out, the fact that Hikaru won't seem to leave him alone, and he can't let her down gently, he now has to worry about being beaten senseless by Yu. One character that stands out from the first couple of episodes is a guy who's only affectionately called Master. And Master is the owner and proprietor of the restaurant stroke bar ABCD, but in the anime they pronounce it Abaka, which for whatever reason, I'm sure Animego have extensive show notes on this one, and I'll link to their show notes on the series in the show notes. Show notes for show notes, there you go. Master hires doka first, and the thing about school children in Japan, they're not allowed to have summer jobs for whatever reason. The schools frown upon them. So Madoka is discovered by Kyosuke to have a summer job, and she asks him not to say anything. And Kyosuke says okay. And Master seems to recognize that Kyosuke has feelings for Madoka, so he asks Kyosuke to work in the bar. So now they share the same secret. And there's one particular episode where they have to hide from Hata and Komatsu, and they basically serve them backwards, you know, with their backs to them all the time. And in the end, Kyosuke has to sneak using his power and frightens both Hata and Komatsu out of the bar. That's about it for the character roundup. As I said, I like this series. I want to see how this ends. I'm told by a lot of people that it's pretty much self-explanatory how this show is going to end, but I want to see it for myself. There, like I said, there were two movies made, 8 OAVs and 48 TV episodes. I have found someone who still has the OAV and movie box set in stock, so I'll order it from them, and I will let you know in about November. I will probably get through it over December, and I will probably get the box set sometime in January. So early next year I'll give you a complete rundown of the series and how it turned out for me. Okay, next week I will not be reviewing any anime, as I've just had no time to sit down and watch an anime. So next week my manga reviews will be only two volumes of the manga series Infinite Rivius, based on the TV series by Sunrise. The second manga will be Legal Drug by Clamp, the first and only three volumes of Legal Drug, which I'll explain why next time, why there's only three volumes. And for the Retro Choice Corner, I will take up the Gauntlet Thrown Down by Anime World Order, who reviewed the classic OAV series Giant Robo. As the new Giant Robo OAVs are being produced right now, I decided I'd have another look at the OAVs. This was recommended to me by AWO, and I've just finished up watching the first three volumes of the four-disc box set from Media Blasters, and I will give a review of it next week. Thanks, guys, for listening in, and I'll talk to you all again later. Bye-bye. If you need to contact me, you can contact me at the email addresses. That's Eeper's Choice. That's EEEPERSCHOICE at podomatic.com and at gmail.com. You can also find me at the website. That's Eeper'sChoice.podomatic.com. You can also find me on my blog. That's same thing, Eeper's Choice. blogspot.com. You can catch me on Google Mail from eeperschoice@gmail.com, and you can send me a voice MP3 for feedback. Bye.
It's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum.